This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at in the U.S. and around the world. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo, and you are watching on Facebook Live, Baseball Outside the Box, and on the podcast audio. Go to baseballoutsidethebox.com. That's the audio part. I want to thank everybody in the U.S. and around the world, and I want to welcome all of you to 2021. Welcome. Happy New Year, and glad that you all can join us in my show on New Year's Day. I mentioned a lot about our audience. Can't thank you enough. You know, we've got audience over 100 countries, people listening from and watching 100 countries, along with we have 200 shows just done on audio podcast, baseballoutsidethebox.com, and 100 on YouTube. So check it out. Both of them, YouTube is Peter Caliendo. Do us a favor, subscribe to them, and that would really help. All right, today it is evening here in Chicago, and we are going to talk to Juan Berger. Well, let me tell you, we're going internationally to Guatemala. Yes, sir. And you heard me correctly. Guatemalan baseball, the baseball invernal de Guatemala. Sí, yo hablo español un poquito. So we're going to talk to Juan, and we're going to learn about his background, how he started this league, a little bit about Guatemalan baseball, what's going on there. And this is going to be a lot of fun. So let me welcome my good friend, Juan Berger. What's up, Juan?
Hey, Pete. Thank you. Thank you very much for the time.
Hey, my pleasure, man. I mean, part of the show is to have people on also, you know, and I consider you a very good baseball person. We talk about experts because one, you started the league. Two, you're doing a lot of work with young players. You play, you've coached. You know, recently you've done a lot with Tom House, you know, online. You're doing, you see, and you're always learning. I think it's great. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun talking about Guatemala baseball. But before we do, again, want to wish you un buon anno in Italian. Feliz Navidad. No, Feliz Año. Excuse
feliz
me.
Feliz Año.
In Spanish. I've been working on my Spanish a little bit, but let's talk about you. Let's go back a little bit in your background. You know, where you started playing baseball in Guatemala, kind of the background of you started as a kid, what that was like, and then how you developed into a player and started playing in Guatemala. And then I believe you also played in the U.S.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have been playing baseball since 3-4 years old. You know, my dad, my family was a baseball family. Here in Guatemala, we have like baseball clubs. It's not kind of like in the school, not too much baseball. You know, it's a soccer country. But there's baseball clubs, and I started in the Club Yankees, you know. Grew up playing national team since I'm a little kid. Play national team, the main team, when I was 16, 15 years old. I'm a lefty pitcher. And since then, I start wanting to keep playing. Went to Iowa Central Community College after I graduated high school here. And from Iowa, I transferred to Payne College. I have had a participation in Central American and Caribbean games in Puerto Rico. Central American games. And I got a little bit involved in coaching as well. I have been since the last 2 years helping in the Argentina professional team. Their league, my friend Pablo, I think he's a friend of yours as well. Yeah. Helping the pitching development over there. In my career, I had a surgery, rotator cuff. And that's when I got more involved in coaching, you know, work a lot to came back to the game. I'm, you know, 20 years old, so I still active, but I got involved in preparation, mechanics, the right way to train, which is where in Guatemala, I think we are fixing a lot of things that were teach the wrong way or empiric way, I guess. And now we are trying to involve a little bit more science and the way you guys do it in the States. And kind of like that's when I come back to Guatemala a few years ago, it's with that objective, grow the game in Guatemala, open opportunities to our people, to our players, to play professional or play college ball or just keep playing baseball outside. And at the same time, grow the game here locally.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned interesting. You said, you know, Guatemala, you know, soccer's the big sport. Soccer's the big sport all over the world. It's a worldwide sport. So, and, you know, I know we got to battle against soccer in some ways to try to get kids to play the game. I want to ask you about that a little bit. How we're going to talk about how you guys get kids to play the game. But before we do, I want to give a shout out to David Molina, former president of the Federation, who I went down and did a coaching clinic down there at the stadium where you guys are playing. Great facilities, great people, love being with the coaches. I know David did a great job as president in developing the sport. The other thing I want to mention, folks on Facebook, if you got a question, type it in the comments section, or you could also text me at 847-997-3898. Again, that's 847-997-3898 if you have a question for Juan about Guatemala baseball or a comment. I love that baseball, you know, with today's technology, Juan, you know, there's so much learning we could all do, right? Because now we can get on Zoom, on Skype, and, you know, like we did with Tom House, you know, you're learning more things technology-wise. I mean, all countries need that. We all need to think. That's why I started a show, Baseball Outside the Box, because we all need to think outside the box. We can't always be teaching it the way it used to be. Now, there's some great things that work that we did in the past also. You can't forget those, because I think one of the things sometimes we forget is that we need to work on the fundamentals of the game no matter what. Always teach the kids the fundamentals, stay with it. But with new technology, there are new ways to teach it, to make it a little bit more fun. Here's where I want to go with you to start off with. Let's talk about, you mentioned Guatemala baseball. Before we even get to the league, the structure of it, you have 11 areas that are playing baseball over Guatemala, I believe, but I'm going to let you tell the audience, but explain the system inside those areas, if they're clubs and how many, you know, kids or, you know, what ages and a little background.
Okay. Yeah. Here in Guatemala, you know, the Baseball Federation is the one in charge of spread the game throughout the country, I would say. So they have 11 associations around the country, and they provide coaches to these associations, you know, and each association has their own group of guys that run the association and try to grow the game. The sad part is that the people teaching the game here is not prepared, I would say. In general, in the city, you will have the best coaches, but outside the city, they are not so good, not everywhere. Some of them are doing a great job. Some of them are not. You know, corruption is always something that plays a part on these government funds, you know, because they get funds, but not always are well distributed. And then the clubs, the kids, they are usually private baseball clubs. They are not, they don't have anything to do with the Baseball Federation funding wise. However, they need to work together because it's baseball. You know, if you do baseball, you need to go through the federation. So the clubs try to get kids from, I don't know, using their own marketing strategies, trying to go to some schools. But baseball in high schools, you don't see that. Baseball, college baseball doesn't exist in here. You know, in school is where you have all the kids. So that's where baseball should be. However, it's disappearing from, I think it's just 4 high schools that have baseball in their program. And the amount of kids that are playing the game has been reduced since I left. When I left, you had, for example, 20 T-ball teams. Now that I'm back, it's just 6 of them. So it's less kids playing the game. And that's when we start trying to push that, use that system that the Federation has already, because, you know, it's useful. You have 6 baseball stadiums in the country. I would say baseball fields, because they're not stadiums. We have just 1 stadium. but you have six baseball fields with good projections, and organized groups are ready, spread in Guatemala. And what we are trying to do with the big project is to get to those groups to help them grow their, first of all, help them with the teaching, with the basics, and then helping grow the game, you know, making more interesting, involve schools. We're working with majors in some cities. And I think it's gonna be tough because soccer is just, and the saddest part, Pete, is that we are really bad at soccer as a country. We are not even good, and everybody plays soccer. So we are trying to get more people to play baseball using baseball five, you know, it's easier, smaller areas. We play a lot of kickball. These are strategies that we use. They like to kick balls, you know, soccer balls. So, but it's a way for us to start teaching the rules. You run to first, second. Yeah. So it has been a process. But for example, we have this community. We started last year, and we already have like 75 kids playing baseball there. You know, so it's growing. And people's getting interested. And of course, the league helps a lot because you see good baseball players and a lot of kids that have been going to the States to play college ball. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like what we advertise here in Guatemala. Like, hey, play baseball, try to get a scholarship, you know, keep playing and study at the same time. And it's getting better. You know, it's slowly growing, but at least it's going forward.
You know, Juan, and, you know, it's not an easy task, you know, because like you said, you are competing against other sports, especially soccer. But what's interesting is you're heading in the right direction, because we've talked about it on the show. As an outsider traveling the world, I have an advantage to see a lot of different things. And one of the things I see a lot of is, and I notice, and I think everybody would agree with this, kids are kids. Okay, what kids want is they want to have fun. What kids want is they want to get better at whatever they're doing. And when you get better, you have fun. But if you show them a game that's too complicated too early, they're not. That's not fun to them because they got to stand around. We all know that. So when you talk about baseball five, when you talk about kickball, inventing some game, anything where kids are playing 5-on-5, 4-on-4, 6-on-6, whatever it may be, to learn the rules. You know, I probably mentioned 1,000 times. You know. We're talking about bringing kids that are, you know, people want to start kids at 4 or 5 years old playing baseball. Well, you better have a bat with a big barrel, right? Yep. And it better be light as a piece of paper almost, because they got to be able to swing it. And don't worry about how they swing it. And guess what kind of ball they got to hit? They got to hit a big ball, right? They can't hit a small ball right now at 4 or 5 years old. For them, that's fun. So if anytime we invent any kind of games, I think you guys are heading in a great, great direction. And you just proved it by having 75 kids that you said that you brought in playing the game. You know, that's going to multiply by word of mouth. But tell us from experience. Okay, I just gave you a couple things. You as a kid, what did you want? When you were a young player, what were you looking for out of baseball? Instead of me telling people, What were you looking for as a player?
Yeah, when you're a kid, I just wanted to have fun with my friends, you know, trying to beat our other friends. Community here is so small that everybody knows everybody, you know, mm-hmm. Baseball community.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do, get people. The thing with kids, Pete, is that you have parents involved. And that's when everything gets a little complicated. Because they, of course, they love their kids and getting too involved. And you see that a lot in here because the community is so small that parents get too involved and messed up everything, every single fun that the kids are having, or just trying to pay the coach so the kid makes the team and travels with the team, you know. But kids, still kids, they have fun. Here is like 4 or 5 different academies doing a great job, people working for baseball. But when they stop being kids, that's when we need to, you know, there's a point where you need to actually develop skills, work in some specific skills and general conditioning. And that's when kind of like when we stop, when we stop the growing of the player.
Here's what's interesting, Juan. I think, again, you keep bringing up some key points that are important. I didn't even bring them up. You brought them up, parents. We've always on the show talked about extremely important three things that if a league or an organization doesn't organize these three things, it's critical for them, because they don't, things are going to go sideways. And that is always educating parents, coaches, and players. Sometimes we forget, we think, oh, we're just going to educate players. The problem is, you just said it, the parents. The parents aren't on board. They got the kids longer than you do. They're at home all the time. Yeah. So to me, if you have a good coaching program, which involves parents, because parents are coaches, most of the coaches in Guatemala are volunteers, just like they are all over the world. Every coach around the world, there's more volunteers around the world than there is of any other level in baseball. That's the biggest baseball group is volunteers. So if you educate the volunteers, but also educate the parents and the players, you're going to reduce the number of problems. You're always going to have a problem. Okay. There's always going to be parents that are going to, they're going to want to do something different, but with education, you reduce those issues. That's in any country you go to, because parents are parents. They're no different. You don't think parents in the United States are trying to do, you know, they want to put their kids in the best position, make sure they're successful. They all want that. So we all fall in that same category. So I commend you for what you're doing. And here's where I'm going with this. What have they done to educate parents in Guatemala and educate coaches? Let's talk about coaches and parents, because players we know you're working with. But what are they doing in Guatemala to educate coaches, or maybe some future goals of what you're trying to work on, whether it's the federation or your league?
Yeah, with parents, I use parents, more older parents. I actually use my dad. He has seven kids, four guys, you know, we all play baseball. But what he, you know, it's better when a parent is telling you what you should do, you know, your responsibility, what's your side of your kids' growing possibilities, what's your job, you know, bring him on time, be with him, support. That's what you need to do as a parent.
Even if they can, maybe when, you know, 5-10 minutes a day at home, roll them a ground ball, toss some wiffle balls, let them hit. Don't worry if you don't have to know anything. Let them just do it, right? As long as they're doing it, hopefully, you know, they've learned from the coach, and that continues at home. And we've always said parents have a responsibility, and more importantly, the player has a responsibility, because the player doesn't want to fail. They need to get better. Well, they need to spend extra time on their own getting better too. Otherwise, they're going to fail if they're only going to practice and only expect practice to make them better.
Yeah. So this year, with all this COVID thing, we made 5 episodes of Commando Kids. It's called Commando, is the company that runs all this crazy project. But it was five episodes of 20 minutes with different drills, easy drills, do it at home.
Nice.
And it was directly for parents. After that, with coaches, you know, it's hard, because usually in countries like this, the biggest problem that I've seen is that we get Dominican coaches or Nicaraguan coaches or Cuban coaches that they don't know how to write. They don't know how to read, you know, so they know a lot of baseball and they probably were good players. But when you are trying to teach something more deep than just baseball, you know, I believe that coaches are so important, because they are teaching your kids how to do life. So that's kind of like, you get really good coaches, really well prepared coaches, then you get a lot of empiric coaches, then you get a lot of soccer coaches that they don't know anything about baseball, not in the city. But outside the city, I've seen people that They don't know how to play catch. They don't know how to hit. And they're teaching kids to play baseball. So with coaches, I would say we get great baseball players. But, you know, I always say the same know math that know how to teach math. Mm-hmm. I can solve problems all day, but I don't know how to teach someone else to solve math problems. And it's the same with baseball. We get great pitching, but they don't know how to teach pitching.
Yeah, Juan, the question would be then, what are they doing? What is anybody doing, if they are, to educate coaches, any kind of coaching program, any kind of educational program for the coaches outside, inside the cities, anything to continue to help them understand how you do this?
Yeah, that's kind of like the tough part, because it's the Baseball Federation is in charge of do that. They do get, you know, they bring some, for example, when you came to Guatemala to give some clinics, nobody follows up. And that's the problem, you know, it's the follow up. So we just started a coaching program, same with Commando, and we are getting into the private academies to set a system. So this system is nothing new. It's the same thing you're going to watch in the States, the same thing you see in Cuba, in Japan, big baseball countries, Nicaragua. Nicaragua is huge. And then the idea is to be able to get everybody on the same page. You know, I don't see it as hard because, you know, you already have 11 organized groups teaching baseball. Mm-hmm. You just need to help them. You know, this year with COVID, we did crazy things. We start developing hitting aids to train here, pitching aids. We are making them in Guatemala. Mm. I'm working in make baseballs in here where that's a little project we have. Baseball cleats, uniforms, hats, these hats, you know, baseball hats, these are from here. We're trying to bring more things that will help coaches, you know. I don't know if you have heard about, I think it's called the speed hitter or something like that. They have the baseball that go up and down, and you know, we built something like that. It's called Swim Fix here in Guatemala. We build something to help pitchers with their momentum, and we're trying to get tools to these people that they have the will and they have the passion, and that's what I look for people. You know, you can learn everything else, but if you have the passion to teach to kids and you have the will to go to the baseball field every day, I think we can work something. You know, you have like three good baseball academies that you have top quality coaches, but not everybody can afford that in here. Right. So we're trying to get that same opportunity to every single one.
Well, hey, I'm going to say it again. Another key word you said, follow up. When it comes to a coaching program, if you don't have, you know where to go with this, because if you don't follow up with coaches and you don't have continual education, whether it's online, then they fall back and they forget, or they maybe don't spend the time on their own to do research. And the thing I wanted to ask you about this, the other part of all this is the coaches is one, but the other part is practice. If you look at most countries at the young levels, especially the good countries, they practice more than they play. Now, some of them are fortunate because they have very good weather, so they might play 80 games, 90 games in Cuba or in Dominican Republic, but they also practice twice as much. They're constantly practicing. What does that look like in Guatemala? How many practices do young kids have a week? How long is the season? How many practices all year? Because without practice, you're not going to get any better.
Yeah. You know, we are one of those fortunate countries with the weather. Our Guatemala nickname is the country of eternal spring. So, you know, we get rain some months, but practice is what people don't like to do here. And usually you get the chance, you have two practice a week with your team. Most of the kids go once a week to practice. It's 2 hour practice. And then you play one game in the weekend.
Yeah.
During the whole year. The whole year is like that. I think they play 18 games, 20 games season. You know, that's six months. And then you play two tournaments. And it's just a few kids that actually go every day to practice. And those are the kids that usually get better and try to go to play to the States, for example. But it's just the culture here in the city. The city has the best baseball level in Guatemala. In the city, they don't like to practice. They like to play. Nice. So they just go to the baseball games. And then outside the city, they practice more, but they don't have the resources that the city has. So they don't get better so fast. And then when you get one good player, he feels he's Mike Trout. Because right. He's in Guatemala, surrounded of people that won't give you competition.
Right.
This kid goes to the States. I mean, I put myself as an example. When I got to college ball, I learned what was a power clean, you know? And my teammates were doing power clean since they were in 10th grade.
Right.
So the difference in everything, they were way more developed, way more stronger, way more faster than me. And that's what usually happens here, you know? And that's kind of like what we are trying to do with this project, is to identify the people that has the will and they wanna do baseball seriously and give them the right training. So at least when they go to other country or they go internationally, at least they will be strong, equally stronger, equally faster, you know, and then it's baseball abilities.
Yeah, and also, well, as you're doing that and you, kids are being successful, other kids will see that and maybe the culture will change. Because another key word you brought up was culture. Culture needs to be changed, you know, and the way you change one of the cultures, obviously, is through coaches, because you got to change their mentality. And then you have to show players, as you're doing now, and we're going to talk about it in a minute here, about the league you have, because now you have a league that's pretty good, and that's an opportunity for kids to play in that league in the future, something to reach for. Not only that, you mentioned it, college baseball in the States. But before we do that, I want to ask you personally, as a player, what were you looking for in your coaches? What did you want to see in your coaches, you know, that you had? What did you like about them, what they did right? Because that's something that's important. You know, like you can say, okay, my coach had a lot of fun. Well, that's great. Hopefully he had fun. Hopefully, you know, you mentioned kids don't like to go to practice, some of them. Well, a lot of it has to do with the culture of practice and how you strategize that practice, how you set it up. Because it can be a lot of fun. It could be game experience more than anything. It could be created like a game if you're going to practice. But talk about what you would like to see in coaches, positives.
Yeah. First of all, I like when they are good overall people, you know, not baseball, not just baseball. You know, they need to teach you how to be a gentleman, how to be, you know, a gentleman in and out the field, respect your, you know, the other players. That's the first thing I do. Seeing people in coaches is how are you as a person? Because you have kids under your command. Mm-hmm. If you're a bad person, I don't want kids to be around bad persons, you know? Then how they express, I think, goes along with it. But how do you talk to kids so they understand? You know, because you cannot talk to a kid the same way you talk to an old guy, you know? And I like when coaches get involved personally. I love that. I love when you actually care about a player and develop that. Usually you see that more in assistant coaches, not the manager or whatever, but when people get trust with the players and they get that relationship going, that's when you really want to go to practice, because you like the people that you're with. Mm-hmm. And then in the baseball itself, I mean, I always like when people correct me. or they see flags and they mention it. And even if you need to mention it 300, 500 times, just, hey, elbow, hey, elbow, hey, or your head, because that's, I think that's what a coach should do every single time until the kid fix it, you know? That's kind of like what I like with coaches. I don't like coaches that are too loud, you know, and just bringing attention and whatever. You see that a lot in Caribbean. You know, I think you have been in the Caribbean. It's just loud baseball. But I like, yeah, I like when people focus in work ethic and just be a good player, be a good baseball player, respect the game, and everything should be all right. I mean,
absolutely. And by the way, folks, Guatemala, awesome coffee, and I'm a coffee guy.
Oh yeah.
I like the coffee also, but Guatemala's got great coffee. You know, a lot of Latin American country, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic. I mean, there's so many you can go on with the list. But I remember being when I was there, beautiful country, but also, you know, I love the coffee there, man. It was outstanding. Hey, speaking about players, what kind of athletes, you know, what kind of athletes you've seen playing the game in Guatemala? You know, the kids that are playing the game, you know, like if you go to the Dominican Republic or you go to Cuba, you see some pretty good athletic bodies, you know, slim, but built well.
Yeah.
Can run. You know, what kind of athletes in Guatemala?
This is a great point, Pete. Thanks for asking that, because in the city, you get a lot of Jose Altuves, you know, just small, tiny, whatever, not baseball built. However, outside the city, I have a story for you. I met a kid a few years ago. He was 18 years old, never finished high school. He used to, you know, with a machete, cut wood with his dad every single day, carry that wood 5 kilometers, you know, every single day, no studies. He's 6'1", 6'2", you know, skinny, no muscle, at least you see. And he's like, hey, guy, you need some food on your system. We gave him a baseball and he threw 85.
Wow. You
know, just by cutting wood every single day. So outside the city, you see a lot of raw kids, raw talent, tough. They have been working since they're kids, you know, yeah. walking everywhere. And, you know, those are the kids that I'm going to. Those are the communities I want to go to, because first of all, they don't care. You know, it's kind of like in Dominican, you see a lot of poor people with a lot of talent playing without shoes, you know, hitting with sticks and rocks. And I believe that outside the city here, we might have good talent for baseball whenever we start, we get to them, you know? In the city, you get everything. It's more mid, high class, you know, they are used to get everything for them, that not work for the things, you know, city kids, a little harder, a little more, parents get involved way more with the development of the kid. So we have not get any Guatemalan in the Major League Baseball level. At the Major League Baseball level, no Guatemalan has played ever. But if there's going to be one, it's not going to be a city Guatemalan guy. It's going to be one of the outside, kind of like more with more qualities to be good at baseball. So I think we have potential as a country once we get the game outside the city. And in the city, we do have good players. We have had some, like 5 of my friends play minor league, you know, with the Orioles, with the Pirates, with San Diego. Nobody make the big leagues, but, you know, some of the people, players here that get going and get involved and go to the gym and actually put effort, they usually get a chance, get a shot. You know how hard that is. You know how many players worldwide are trying to do the same thing. But I think once we get outside the city, Guatemala is going to sound a little bit more in baseball.
You know, and that's a big step. You got four or five guys playing minor league ball. That's a good step. That's a goal for other kids to see. If you have players in minor, they don't have to be yet in the major leagues, but if they're, you know, minor league baseball, that's pretty good. Interesting enough, you know, those are some common things around the world, because I was in Russia with a good friend of mine in Vladivostok. And again, big city, players were good. They were, you know, doing their thing. You could tell they were a little bit more spoiled, maybe just like here in the U.S. in the big cities, you can get a little spoiled. But, you know, all of a sudden these kids came from out in the country and they were hungry. You know, they were athletic. You know, they were used to being, they're tough mentally. So you see, and so again, man, are you heading in the right direction? Because there's good players out in the country and we need to, you know, go after these players. I agree with you. And folks, if you listen, he said, you know, he said Altuve, hey, in baseball, what's great about baseball, you can be any size you want. There's also players that are not exceptional athletes, but they worked at their athletic ability. And what I mean by that is their movement and their strength, like Juan is talking about. So it's not like you have to be a, you know, born an athletic person to play the game. You can develop into a good athletic person as long as you do it young enough, because we got to reach those kids young enough where they build their athleticism at that time. What about, you know, when we talk about players, you got guys in the pros, you got also guys going to college. How does that work? What's the system? How do you get these guys to go to college? Is it tough to get them to go to college in the U.S.? What's the background behind it?
Usually you need to have a more financial freedom, I would say. More money to get your kid to pay the flight ticket. And, you know, it's hard to get a full ride. So usually mid to high class are the ones that get those chances by personal funds. Once the kids are over there, you know, if you're a good ball player, you in the States, I mean, you get recognized. Your talent, you get recognized. Your talent in school, I got a full ride, but it was 50 by my GPA and 50 academic, 50 sports. And that's kind of like people is trying to do now, you know. However, we are a part of this project is to give this opportunity to more people, even if they don't have the funds, you know, personally. Mm-hmm. So usually national teams, when you go with the national team outside, maybe a scout or a coach see you and a little follow up. But now that we have, I have like four friends that are actually played in the States, came back here trying to help people in Guatemala to go to play college as well. You just need to know what to do. You know, you need to do the TOEFL test. You need to contact the coach. You need to decide, you know, can you afford housing? Can you afford all the tuition? So people just don't know how things work. It's not that hard. You know, Perfect Game came to Guatemala, helped some kids. And it's a lot of people trying to take more kids to play college ball. Right now, if I'm not mistaken, we have like 9 or 12 kids in either high school or college playing baseball in the States. I believe that's, you know, these kids are going to be the core of the national team in this year for Central American Games. Mm-hmm. So even if it's not pro, I think college also teach you and develops you as a player, and it's a tough competition and a good experience. So we need to grow the number of players playing the game, and we're going to have more people in the MLB system or in college system. And kind of like that's where we're going to right now, coming back to schools.
And before that, before they get to there, there's also an opportunity now in Guatemala to play in the Baseball Invernal de Guatemala. Tell us how that started and what's the goal behind that, how it's going.
Good. Yeah. The big, I call it big. Baseball Invernal de Guatemala. Yeah. Big. The big project, it's kind of like how we are engaging everything that we have been talking with. And It's the way we did a lot of research. So 3 years ago, somebody did a league similar, didn't work much, but I saw that it could be done, you know? So we started this big league 2 years ago. With the first season, we played 50 games that season from October to December, four teams, and each team can have from 5 to 10 international players, 5 minimum, 10 maximum, and then everything else is nationals. So the idea, the initial idea was, okay, our national players will be playing with international players, automatically our level is going up. You know, so whenever we play Central American games or Central American and Caribbean games, we are going to be used to see 90 plus because we don't have pitchers that throw 90 plus in here, maybe one. But each team gets 2 or 3 pitchers, and then our hitters start getting used to velo, because then usually what happens with Guatemala is we go, we get 95, 94, 96, the first 3 games, and in other teams, 18, 22 strikeouts. And then when our hitters are ready, got the timing correct, you know, and all the nerves out, we start giving good baseball games, you know, hitting more, scoring more runs, pitchers getting outs. So kind of like that's how everything started. And then we got a good reaction from community, you know, even if we don't practice much baseball, we did a research and we use 8 million people as a sample. You know, we have 20 millions. I use a sample of 8 million people. And out of that sample, 4 million shows interest in baseball.
Wow.
3 million in the city.
Wow.
1.5 million in Guatemala City. Usually you're talking about Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, you know, and we start doing a lot of fun things with Facebook. I love to play with Facebook, has so much information in it, and you can see interest. So when we start putting a little bit of marketing to baseball, we start getting reactions. So last year I brought 2 Major League Baseball players for the semifinals and the finals. We brought Mauricio Dubon from the Giants and Jonathan Loaiziga from the Yankees. And we brought those 2 because they are Central American, you know, one from Honduras, one from Nicaragua. And I want our kids to watch them. And he's like, okay, he's like me, you know, it's similar. We got a lot of people, a lot of kids. We got some baseball clinics with Loaiziga. More than 100 kids came to the clinics. So the league start getting interest and nationwide. So that's our motor. I say that's what's getting the project, getting private funds. That's crucial because we are private. You know, this league is private and the federation, kind of like we have their blessing. That's what I say. We have the stadium, we have their blessing. They don't mess with us, we don't mess with them. But they recognize that we are making baseball grow. So that's good for them. And every single thing that I get from the private side that I can share with them, it's shareable. For example, second year, that's this year, we get the games televised. That's huge.
Wow.
I don't remember. I've never seen a televised baseball game in Guatemala.
Wow.
We televised the whole league. Then we got in different channels, big, even some games were televised in the States as well because of Tigo Sports is in the States and you can get, you know, you are getting into huge, huge companies, telecommunication companies. So it's easier for us use their database, you know, to get our league out there. We get that was one of the biggest things we accomplished this year. That was the motivation to release the league in the middle of a pandemic, you know, in the middle of COVID. That's one thing. And then you get newspapers involved again. You get, so private companies can start seeing like, okay, I can announce my company with you. Is not throwing my money because I'm seeing something in return. We're getting more people to try to fund the projects outside the city. We brought some people, some players outside the city to play the big league. You know, the best players outside are still the worst in the league, but they got the chance.
Yep.
Come play and see that there's a chance. You know, this year we made a national draft. We had over 200 players registered for the national draft. And then each team pick about 20 players, 18 to 20 players, national players. So once the league, you know, the league is fun. You see good baseball. Just we get triple A pitchers, double A pitchers, a lot of, you know, the kind of players you find in Dominican. We got really good players. We have had players from the States, from Canada, Mexico, Dominican, Cuba, Nicaragua, Honduras, El Salvador, Spain, Venezuela. I mean, Japan. I brought a Japanese pitcher last year. So it's just fun. People like to see how diverse it's you know, the nationalities. And people in Guatemala, the players, we open about 80 jobs every time we run the league. We do everything, all the production of the games, and we get scorekeepers, and then kind of like grow every single aspect that I didn't have idea how many people participates in an actual baseball game, from the guy that is picking up the foul balls all the way to the players. It's impressive. It's impressive, everything that you need to coordinate. We never had something like that in here as a local league. You know that you play every day. I mean, three games a week, and you get good baseball. You can watch yourself on TV, on social media, and you get press. I mean, it's getting as a show. I sell the big league as a show. That's how I mean. But in the background of that, we are doing a lot of things with coaches. We invite coaches and, you know, clinics, try to get our system outside, get people outside more involved with what's going on in the city. And what we're looking into the future, I want to build a baseball stadium in Guatemala, a private baseball stadium. So we don't have to depend, you know, because if someone says here, we are not opening the field, we don't have a baseball, you know. So we're working on that. That's the goal. We are getting into the schools again. I mean, I read a research that shows that after swimming, baseball is the best sport for the growth, you know, all the 8 to 12 years old, all the kids, for the best sport for, you know, hand-eye coordination, mm-hmm. and all the things. Baseball is so good. And I said in an interview here in Guatemala, you guys want better soccer players? Get baseball back in the schools. Because, you know, it's building an athlete before building a soccer player. Get the kids good hand-eye coordination, flexibility, you know, mobility, all the things that baseball are really involved with the sport. So anyways, the league is kind of like the show that is making everybody turn to watch baseball in Guatemala. And then from that, we already have projects in four different departments outside the city, four different places. And we hope to get something close to what you see in Mexico, with two different or three different regions and four, five, six teams in each region, and then make something bigger and more inclusive. And I believe the big league is what's gonna get people from the farther communities involved in baseball. And that's when I believe we're gonna have some talent coming out throwing 98 or something like that.
Well, I gotta tell you, you've got a great game plan, because, you know, as you said, you're gonna, if you're able to expand out, all of a sudden you got teams in the different areas that you're talking about, the countries, where that's really going to start developing. You're developing the youth level, the coaches. You're really going in a great direction. And the other part is I want to ask you is, you know, great goal, obviously, to have like a league that Mexico has. You got the Dominican Republic. But what's interesting is, you know, we're all good friends with Pablo Tesoro, you know, of Argentina. They have a league also. What's interesting is to be able to exchange ideas and maybe do some work, you know, in that area, because one day I could even see a World Series, you know, among the different leagues, whether it be Guatemala, Argentina, and different others of the leagues, whether they're called pro leagues. And the other thing I like, too, is that your players, and you said it, your players are playing along different players from other countries, Latin players from different Latin American countries, American players, you know, from all over Canada. I think that's a big deal. How do you see yourself working with leagues like Pablo? What are you guys doing? Are you doing anything there to work together?
Yes. I traveled to Mexico 2 years ago with Pablo, actually, with the Argentinian team for the Latin American series. And we got an invitation for the Latin American series last year that didn't happen for all that thing that is going on between the Caribbean and I don't know. But we're still working on it, and we are close, really close to play the champion of Nicaragua. You know, they are playing right now, the round robin playoffs or whatever.
Watching them.
I was watching too. They were five-time Latin American series champion. You know, Nicaragua has a huge baseball level and their system is impressive. What they're doing is impressive. So, I talk with Pablo that you mentioned, and we wanted to start that, playing champions, champion Guatemala, champion. He already started something in South America with Ecuador and Chile and Argentina. I think they did a tournament there. I am more, you know, Central South, so
yeah.
We might have a friendly international series against Nicaragua, the Lobos that are the champions from Guatemala with Nicaragua. Hopefully this month or beginning of February, that would be amazing for us to kind of like see where you at when you face someone like that. And I have been talking with the Puerto Rico Pro League with my good friend Carlos Nunez, trying to get them into the picture. I'm pretty sure I can talk to some of my friends in the States. You know, there's a lot of independent leagues. Get a baseball team from the States, I think, is the easiest task, because you guys play so much baseball. Same with Canada, and Mexico has a few leagues too that has reached out to me. So El Salvador has a pretty good league as well. So we are trying to start something internationally with these pro or semi-pro leagues, also to get this league, you know, it's easier to get funds if you get more flags involved. That's something that I have proved these last years. But kind of like get this baseball is so amazing. I mean, you better than anyone. I don't know how many countries have you visited and how many kinds of baseball teaching or baseball playing have you seen, but it's the same here and in China. And I believe that that's the amazing part of baseball, that it's a language. It's another language. You know?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. You're thinking outside the box. I love that part. And the other area, I wanted to ask you about, because now that you've seen the pro league or your league going on, I call it pro league, but the league that's going on, what's some of the benefits? And before you answer, folks, if you're a player and listening to the podcast, baseballoutsidethebox.com, which is the audio part, or even the YouTube, Peter Caliendo, don't forget to subscribe. And then you can get new shows all the time. Help us show, you know, maybe get the show out on social media. That really helps us out a lot. But if you're a player listening, there's great opportunities all around the world, not just in the U.S. These are great leagues to play in. There's all, you know, sometimes as a player, that I've seen players play in pro leagues in different countries at all levels and then become coaches and get involved more in the game. There's so many opportunities now worldwide. But back to the league, what have you seen the benefits of the league of players? In other words, after two, three years of playing the league, what have you seen the benefits are for players? And then also, what are some of the things maybe you need to change?
Okay, benefits for players.
Your player.
Guatemalan players?
Yeah, because of the new league, because of the league. How does that benefit them? What's been going on?
Well, first of all, they get a job because we do pay players.
Yep.
Second, they get to play good baseball because the level of the National League is not as good as the big league. You know, since it's a shorter league, you get more players to come play, and you get, of course, to face better pitchers, better hitters. So I think as a player, you get a good baseball level to play, so your level gets better, and you get a job, and also you get to know more people, because from this league, last year, Wilmer Alvarado from Guatemalan League went to play to Colombia. Mm. Juan Diego Montes from Guatemala went to play to Nicaragua. He's from Guatemala. And this year, he's playing in Tren del Norte in Nicaragua. This year, we brought a Panamanian pitcher, a lefty. He played with the Red Sox in AA. Now he's playing with Leones de León in Nicaragua. So, you know, just to be a part of this league, I think we already have the exposure for you to get to another league, to get playing. So I think that's fun. And also I think people like how professional we try to be with the league. Even if we're not, I don't consider us professional yet. We are on our way to, but still green. However, I think players like that we have good coverage, that you can watch, you know, you have every single game, have news, pictures, videos, whatever. That's another thing that wasn't, you know, I never saw that in Guatemala before. Mm. Nobody do that with baseball. So we start taking baseball to another level here, and people is getting really involved. This year, I think you know this guy. I don't remember his name. It's a scorekeeper for the WBSC.
Brian Moore. Yep.
Brian Moore.
Brian goes all over the world. A great guy.
I love what he's doing. I think he's so cool. So he messaged me saying that, hey, I wanted to go to watch some baseball, but I see you guys have your, you know, closed doors. And I'm like, come over and I will get you in as a scorekeeper. I really don't care.
He loves that.
So he came and he was impressed. And I like to hear, I'm bringing him up just because I have no idea how many baseball games he has, you know, been at, but he was impressed with the kind of level we got in the big league.
Yeah, he would know.
He watched one of the semifinals with the best two pitchers that we brought, both of them throwing, both of them plus pitchers, you know, 94, 96 with great secondary. So he saw like 2-3 home runs and we hit like 4 in the whole season. So he was really excited, and that's what tell us we're going in the right way with the league. It's too broad, you know, it's too ambitious. I think we are getting everything involved, everything, kids, coaches, parents, international players, international coaches, international leagues. And we are trying to get these out. And this year was, I mean, every game had at least, 18,000, 19,000 reach. people organically, you know? So that's, we're doing something good. Each year is getting better. We need to change some things each year. When I say I, you know, my team, the team puts a new rule, or for example, with the podcast you did with Pablo, I heard something that I loved. And it's the fact that after an international pitcher, a national pitcher needed to come into relief for at least three hitters. And we apply that this year. And it's amazing. It's amazing because you don't have no option but to give a national an opportunity to throw at least for three batters. Yep. And I got to see pitchers that I didn't see before, Guatemalans. And I know the coaches of the national team did too, and they show potential. So that's the goal. The goal is to grow the game in Guatemala, but I'm pretty sure long-term, I mean, from 10 years from now, I hope we have something close to what the system you have in the States. You know, I'm getting to schools, getting into schools. We are not charging anything to schools. We put the trainers, we put the equipment, we give me just the kids. Because if you're in schools, guess what, Pete? They need to go to practice because they're in school already. That's the thing. That's why people don't go to practice here. You need to go home, school, practice. That doesn't work much. So if we get into high schools, if we get into, you know, kids, will be easier to grow. And at some point, I want to get a draft out of schools for the big league. You know, you graduated, okay, you get into the draft and some team of the big league is going to pick you up and you keep your baseball career while you go to college. So that's kind of like where we're going, to get more kids involved. And then, I mean, that's what we need. We need more people playing the game.
You know, and you're heading in a great direction, let me tell you. We got about 5 minutes left. I want to kind of finish it off with this. But before we do, I'm going to send you a message. Check out December 1st, the podcast there with Jesse Cole, the Savannah Bananas, founder and owner. We discuss ways to promote the game. You'll love this guy. Very, very outside the box thinker, and he's done an incredible job in collegiate baseball, in summer collegiate baseball. And I think you'll get a lot out of the show. And if anybody gets a chance, go listen to that show because it's really, really good. Here's where I want to kind of end with it a little bit. And with the pro league, you mentioned a couple of things. Have you changed? Do you have any different rules? You know, you notice Major League Baseball and changed some rules this year because of COVID, but they may continue with them. One of them might be they might have a DH next year. They might even have a runner on second with a tie ball game. There could be different rules. Are there areas you're looking at to maybe change to make the game a little bit more fun?
We go by what MLB do. Always. We have their rules and we add some if we think it's going to help with our personal growth. But we always go with the best country doing it, you know? So actually our rules said that, you know, the rules are the same rules of the baseball game according to the rules and blah, blah, blah. So we just put kind of like rules like the draft or the fees we give for, you know, but it's pretty much the same.
All right, Juan. So let's end it on this. I'm going to give you an open forum. You know, anything you want to talk about, mention that we didn't talk about the league or about development in Guatemala baseball. It's your time and then we'll close it off.
All right. Thank you. No, I think we covered pretty much everything, Pete. This is a project that I hope keeps going in the direction we're going and more people jump in. I mean, we have people helping the project from the States, people from the States. I have a few guys in Minnesota and in Iowa helping out baseball in Guatemala. We have people all around not all around the world, but in Central America. And I really hope someday we can get something working like in the Dominican, you know, how many academies are in there, how many. And the thing is, everybody want to play Major League Baseball. You know, that's the dream of every single kid. Everybody want to play in the Yankees or in the Dodgers or whatever. But the thing is, we want to make it real. We want to make it possible for them. We want to make it possible for the future generations in Guatemala. We want to change our culture, but I believe this is going to be a work that is not just in Guatemala. You know, I hope someday some bigger leagues come in here and see potential like they did in Dominican Republic and help Guatemala give that step forward. Because we're going in a good direction, but I mean, when you have more guys and more people working for the same goal, you get there faster, you know? So that's pretty much it. I thank you, Pete, for the time a lot talking about Guatemala. I love talking about this project. I get pumped every time I talk about the project. And it's cool that someone like you turns your head and watch Guatemala baseball. You know,
let me tell you, you know, I think great things are coming out of Guatemala baseball. You're going to see it. Keep doing what you're doing. You definitely have a goal of, you know, getting young kids to play the game, getting them to play it long term, because you set up some long term goals for them. You know, like I said, the league, college baseball, and for young kids in Guatemala, professional baseball, doesn't matter which team you play for, just get the professional baseball, be exciting. Even if you get the rookie ball, that's exciting. That's a great, great goal. Great accomplishment. But if you can play college baseball, high school baseball in the U.S., nothing wrong with that. Pretty good baseball. So, you know, hopefully that's some of your goals. Juan, again, can't thank you enough. We're going to put all the show notes, we'll put everything, how people can reach you on the show notes of the podcast in case players want to email you, coaches, whoever it may be, not only in the U.S., but anywhere in the world. And again, my friend, thank you for joining us on Baseball Outside the Box. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Thank you, Pete.
All right, folks, that's Juan Berger. He is the president of the Baseball Invernal de Guatemala, the Winter League of Baseball of Guatemala. We'll put all the show notes up. I want to thank Juan. I want to thank also our producer, Brian Kroc, with the Lineup Media Group. Another year, 2021, with the Lineup Media Group. What a great job they do. Go to lineupmediagroup.com. Thank you. And finally, thanks to all our folks in the U.S. and around the world, all the listeners, all the people who watch. Can't thank you enough. This is going to be a fantastic year. Stay healthy, stay safe. God bless you all, and we'll see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.